In its most general sense, labor means productive activity. Labor can also refer to the group of people laboring, to a job or task that needs to be done, and to work, both mental and physical, that's of a difficult or of fatiguing nature. On this weekend, when we honor the dignity and the dedication of all who work, we have the opportunity to reflect on an image from the prophet Jeremiah, which reminds us that God is hard at work, striving to perfect God's creation. God, suggests Jeremiah, is up to God's elbows and spattered all over with something that looks a lot like mud, because God has a vision for us and for the world, which God is still laboring to bring into being. I'm going to read today from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it. But if that nation, concerning which I have spoken, turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster that I intended to bring on it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am a potter, shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil way and amend your ways and your doings. Jeremiah was trying desperately to wake people up to the fact that our collective choices, behaviors, and actions are directly related to whether or not we are able to serve a beneficial purpose. He wants his people to understand that God is able and willing to remold and remake those groups that have forgotten how we are meant to live and are bringing trouble rather than blessing upon the earth. He doesn't want us to take God's steadfast love for granted. He wants us to live with gratitude and reverence and respect toward God. And so he brings us this vivid image of a potter sitting at a wheel, trying to shape a lump of clay into something lovely and useful. Bruce Birch reminds us that anyone who has ever observed a potter at work knows that working the clay is a demanding and time-consuming process. The vessel that the potter intends frequently grows misshapen in his or her hands as too much or too little pressure is exerted, or a wall of the vessel becomes too thin, or the intended shape does not develop as planned. When this happens, the potter collapses the vessel, compresses the clay, and begins over. Jeremiah, standing in a potter's workplace, watches the process for a while, and it begins to come to him that God is saying, can I not do with you, my people, just as this potter has done? It is, after all, up to the one working the clay to create what is needed and desired. Being satisfied with any old result actually would be sort of lazy and irresponsible. God is testifying to pride of workmanship by saying, I am not giving up until this comes out right. It's my prerogative, and if I have to reshape you over and over again, then I will. This image of God working with God's people as a potter works with clay is hopeful news, because it tells us that we are still in a soft and malleable state. If we had been fired in a kiln or allowed to dry out, there would be no molding and reshaping going on. Our shape would have been set and we would be stuck. If we had reached the end point of a completed object and turned out badly, our destiny would be the trash heap. Only moist, soft clay can still be sculpted, still be remade. We are still in that formative process, and our future, therefore, remains open possibility. God is still working on us. God has a goal in mind, and we still have the potential to realize God's vision. Jeremiah comprehends this analogy of God as the potter and people as the clay in a way which emphasizes that God is sensitive to what the clay is doing. God adjusts and takes corrective action depending on how the vessel is taking shape in God's hands. God is in no way removed from God's creation. God remains intimately involved in this ongoing process. The clay does something and God responds. God's response in turn changes the shape of the clay. On and on it goes. God's sitting there at the spinning wheel, water splashing all around, the clay rising and falling until God finally is able to declare, "This is good. This is what I've been working for. This is the desired result." As we stand with Jeremiah and we watch the potter working with the clay, and as we consider the implications for how God works with us, a question that might arise is, are we being guided to change in some way? Are we being encouraged or moved in a direction that will cause us to be more useful and appealing, perhaps even more satisfactory to God? And if we do sense that something new is required of us, then are we willing to comply with God's guidance, to try what God is suggesting, or do we intend to resist and rebel? Because we live in a society that tends to give more emphasis and attention to the individual than to the community, our first instinct, if we're even open to these types of questions, our first instinct might be to apply them to ourselves as individuals. And this exercise, no doubt, can be very fruitful. But we may also benefit from remembering that Jeremiah was addressing what he called the house of Israel. In other words, God's people as a group, a collective entity, a whole community. He was inviting them to think about their lives together and whether they were organized and living together in such a way as was pleasing to God. Was their common life concerned about justice? Were they mindful of those with no social standing and no political power? Did they observe healthy rhythms of work and rest, worship and service? Did they remember that all the blessings that they enjoyed ultimately were gifts from God? Jeremiah's plea is that people think and look together at how our common life might need to be reshaped in ways that are more suited to God's purposes. He wants us to look at our shared priorities and our common standard operating procedures to see if they faithfully reflect God's intentions. He wants us to realize that our collective response to God adds up to something extremely significant for us and for the world. My proposal for how we might heed Jeremiah's call today and in the near future is fairly modest, but it is something a little bit new and different for us. By way of considering how we as a church might work more closely and more responsibly with God, I'd like us to have some conversation with each other. To be God's community, a community that God is shaping to serve an important purpose in the world, we need to know each other. We need to discover and celebrate each other's gifts and talents. We need to honor and provide scope for the time and energy and unique life experience that each of us has to share. The way to begin doing all that, it seems to me, is to talk to each other. Not just to talk to each other about the weather and the success or failure of our favorite sports team, but to actually talk to each other in a focused way about who we are and what our dreams are as children of the living God. The members of what we in this church call the leadership development team are prepared today to initiate such conversations. This is a group of folks, members of the church, just like you, who want to listen to each of you talk about what church has meant to you in the past and what it might mean for you in the future. It's a group that wants to know what you love to do, what you're good at, and what your personal style is. It's a group that's already extremely glad about your connection to PBUMC and wants to learn how that connection might grow even stronger and more meaningful. It's a group, we might say, that wants to keep the clay of our church flexible and fresh so that we can work with God, not against God, in becoming the vessel that God wants to make of us. The leadership development team is taking initiative to invite the conversation with you, but obviously it's going to have to be a two-way deal. There's going to have to be some response on your part. Five members of this team have set aside blocks of time in the next 2 or 3 weeks, and they need you to do something similar. If each of you could look for a time slot on your calendar, which matches a time slot on the conversation sign-up grid, then a lot of dialogue could take place. The individual conversation that we'd like each of you to have, to sign up for, needs to take only about 20 minutes. It can happen here at church, or if it's more convenient for you, it could happen at a coffee shop near your house or workplace or at your home. All of those things are possible. What we're asking is for a conversation between you, one conversation between you and one member of the leadership development team. Simple one-on-one conversation, although if you do have a significant other and you prefer to have that conversation in conjunction with your partner, this can easily be a conversation between three people. The purpose is simply that we might grow in appreciation for one another, discover the gifts that God has placed among us, and increasingly become a community that can be responsive to God's creative touch upon our shared life and ministry. The way to sign up for a conversation is to visit the table in the entry area. There are a lot of time slots available on Saturday, September 18th, which is a weekend a couple weeks from now. Opportunity to talk with members of the leadership development team are also available on two specific weekdays, several evening times, and one Sunday afternoon. And if you do not see a time that would work for you, you can leave your name and contact information and your best availability, and we will accommodate your schedule. It's exciting to realize that God is always working with us to accomplish good in the world. No matter how we might feel about our past, God is not finished with us yet. Amazing moments are still ahead of us. If we're interested in making a positive contribution to the ultimate outcome of God's creative process, we can start by making ourselves available. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the rewards and the satisfactions of work. We work to provide for ourselves, our families, and our neighbors in need. We work to improve our society and our world. We work to bring glory to you. We thank you for sharing the joy of creativity with us. And today we lift prayers for those who have been frustrated in their ability to find work, or are working in less than safe and humane conditions. We ask, Lord, that you would uphold and strengthen those who focus their efforts on ensuring that work may be a blessing, not a curse, and that it might be available to all. Generous God, we celebrate today not only labor, but also the fruits of labor. We thank you for garden produce that springs forth in abundance when carefully planted, tended, weeded, and watered. The bounty of the earth reminds us that you built abundant blessing into the very fabric of creation. May we learn to live our lives in a way that expands and shares this abundance, so that everyone will have what they need and be able to live in peace and unafraid. As Jeremiah's voice reaches our ears today, gracious God, we pray that we might be malleable clay in your hands, together serving the purpose that you have in mind for us. We now join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.